Blog Talk Radio.
Can we finish it here?
We'll begin to lift up your voice. Some of you may even want to run to the altar and begin to lift up your voice, not on behalf of yourself, but on behalf of the nation. Is there anyone that would join me in praying for the nations of the earth, that the government would be upon his shoulders, that the Lord of glory would intervene into the affairs of man? Where are the intercessors? Where are those who will cry out? Where are those who will believe God? Who will say, oh God, hear your people. Oh God, hear the cries of your people. As we lift up our voices tonight, as we lift up our voices tonight, if we've ever needed you, right now is the time. Right now is the time. Change the name.
Amen. Amen. Welcome to Words from the Word. I, your host, Overseer Paulette, may hear a few things going on in the background. Just kind of ignore those and let's focus in on the one that is to be the priority of our life, of our living, of our joy, of our morning. That song, Command the Morning. And in commanding the morning, we are surrendering ourselves to God. We're surrendering because there is a joy that is to become ours as we are asked to come up hither. And as we come up hither, there is a place of holiness that we must obtain. There is a place of surrender that is our posture. And when we look to him and understand that it is he who will bring the righteousness and the holiness in our lives and the power that is thereof. But it comes to us as we are in close proximity to him. So as we seek him, as we surrender to him, as we love him, and as we serve him and his people, it will become our worship. So we praise God for our introduction into this new study of The God You May Not Know by David Jeremiah. And as we look at the introduction in the book, it tells us some basic things that we are aware of. We know those things, we understand those things, and or so we think. We have a factual knowledge of them. We have a experience of some of them. But God is unsearchable. He shares with us in the beginning of our study the very magnitude of the God that we serve and how without him, there is no way for us to realize who he is. There is no way to understand who he is. And without him, there is no way to feed on who he is. And so one of the things that the author shares with us out of John out of Psalms, Romans, and Ephesians, it says, you may not know the God as well as you think you do. So often we've been in this journey for so long. We have all the fact figures, and we've heard the sermons. We've read the books. We have surrendered our life. We have gone into service for God. But the author shares, at some point we've become trained Christians, and we have not gone beyond, thank you, Lord, I am saved. So it says, you may not know God as well as you think, for he is far above us as the heavens are above the earth. The Bible also tells us his greatness is unsearchable, and then his judgments are unsearchable. His riches are unsearchable. Nevertheless, he is knowable. He is knowable because he chooses to reveal himself to us and cause us to come up hither, come in a new posture in our walk and in our relationship with him, a more intimate and deeply, deeply loving place where we will learn to worship. And I say place, and I didn't want to, not place, but position. It's a new position. It is an invitation to, as one of the members shared on Sunday, an invitation to come and get your love. Come and get your love. This is the love that our souls long for. This is the love that we seek in all the wrong places, in all the places that seem like they should be right, but we're depending on them instead of depending on him. We are able to see him in all the works and creations of his hand, but we have to meditate on the awesomeness of a God who created worlds without end that is beyond our searching and our imagination and even our understanding. And he knew that it would be, which is why he sent his Holy Spirit. He sent his Holy Spirit to be able to download into us his heaven's mysteries, some of the vastness. He puts it within our reach, within our grasp, within our eye gate, within our understanding. He allows us to touch his creation in ways that we never touched them before, to see them in ways that we never saw them before, to understand how they go about their cycle of life and how it is ordained, sustained by him. By him who is the King of the universe, the God of all glory and might. And one of the things I wanted us to start doing in this study, there's several things, but as we go along, we're going to share them with you. But one of the things I decided that I think it would be wonderful for us, and we know the names of God, but every time the author mentions a name of God, make a note of it. Make a cross or check it off in your books, okay? Because, or number it, because he is so unsearchable. His attributes, his personality, and his quality is so uncertain. And so often, we are not, they are not the primary, the priority of our thinking when we are going about our daily lives. It says the Lord Almighty, the God Almighty, his qualities, his traits, and his... Okay, they're doing cable, they're doing a lot of things. Praise God, the praise and worship, praise report is the overseer in our family is in our own home, and it is topsy-turvy, but it is definitely a tremendous and awesome blessing. And in that, we're in service time for all of the individuals that come in our life to be a part of our convenience and comfort in things. And we should pray for those individuals, those service people that come into individuals' homes and set up the different things that they need, the light, the gas, the electricity, the cable, the furniture, the painters, the whatever it is, because they have access to the very intimacy of their customers. And that's the intimacy that we need to acknowledge even in them, because it'll get us to understand the kind of intimacy we should have with Christ. He wants to have with us. And he comes in our homes in all of those areas of our life, and he attends to them on our behalf. He's doing something that we can't do. We can't hook cable up and put the wires where they go and sync it with things and make it know your voice and all of those things, trained to do that. But God is, because he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's omniscient. I love the names when it just starts talking about him and talking about his names and listening. You just keep going on and on. Everlasting Father, God of hosts, the Lord of heaven and earth, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that right there lets you know he wrote it, and he's going to finish the book of it. And so it is him who is in control. That's a place of comfort, a place of peace, because it's like it's on him. It's not on me. He is the comforter and the counselor and the creator. He is a great physician and a God of all grace. His name is I Am, and the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the Holy One of Israel. We shall call him Jehovah, the Most High, and the Lord of the living and the dead. He is maker, mediator, and man of sorrow. He is our prophet, our priest, and king, our redeemer, refuge, the rock. He is the ruler of heaven and earth, and he is the friend of sinners. Hallelujah, Jesus, which is the place that we have been in. And so when we study this book, when we surrender ourselves to all of the things that the book is presenting, when we look up the scriptures, when we read them anew, when we meditate on them, we will realize just how critical it is for us to move towards the position of the presence of God continuously. This study will reveal the different mysteries that God has that will make this journey easy and light, because that's what he says he will do. And it's that way because we have known Christ, and Christ has made it available to us. And one of the key pieces for me in the introduction was feed on his faithfulness. So that's another name. He is faithful. That's another attribute. And it's there because it is a quality. He is endless. His faithfulness doesn't have an end. It's infinite. It goes beyond anything, and there's no boundaries to it. There are no boundaries. There's nothing outside of it. So when we start describing and ascribing to these characteristics and these attributes of God, we're getting allowing our mind to expand. This study is going to expand our mind tremendously because it is going to give us a God's eye view of our life, why we were created, why we were here. And he says we were created, the Bible says we were created to worship him. And how can we worship him if we only know about him? We only know the facts and the stories. We know those, but we have to come to know him. And to come to know him means he's going to bring us in a position and a posture to get this truth, to overwhelm our thinking, to overwhelm our understanding, to overwhelm the knowledge that we have, to overwhelm us. And when it overwhelms us, then we're able to stand in awe of him. We are able to then see what a love that has been declared on our behalf. If we look at this book as a husband and his bride, because that's what we are, and the commitment that this man, this not man, but this God has to his bride, there is nothing, there is no limit. There's no boundaries. There is just no end to those things that he has to bestow upon his bride. And he's able to, because we're looking at these powerful names of God. And so when the situations and the circumstances become overwhelming, there's a name of God that should bring you comfort, that should bring you a place of peace, a place of purpose, a place of power, and a place of pride, but a sense of pride in him, a sense of purpose from him, a sense of power for his will, and a sense of peace with him. So coming to know him, to worship him, these are the things, these are the benefits. This is what we are being in position to be crowned on our heads with, crowning our life with these things. And so there's so many things when you look at each one of these sections, they indicate some of the things that we definitely have distorted, and the enemy has sent us on the wrong trail to obtain. But because God created us the way we are, these are things we must have in our life. And we can have them in our life, but they have to come from him. And so it says knowing God gives us a sense of pride. We all know how that is one of the first things that have to be broken in our carnal spirit, is this spirit of pride. And that's because the pride is directed to the wrong person, to the wrong area. It's a pride in what the world prizes. And so we desire it. We feel that to obtain this gives us a sense of importance, gives us a sense of value, gives us a sense of position. And that is the downfall. That is why the emotions and the world is in chaos, because they have pride in the wrong thing. Our sense of pride has to be in him. But it can't be in him if we don't know him. If we don't know him, not know about him, not just know his name, but know about the power of that name, the purpose of that name for our journey, and the power of that name for our journey, and the peace of that name for our journey. Because each name of God gives us the thing that we were created to long for. It satisfies that place where we found ourselves and found ourselves trying to make do with the things that the world says will do this for you. And so we have neglected. We have neglected our original source of fulfillment, our original source of fulfillment. And so we realize that there are so many things about God that we don't trust our life to. And so we seek to find them in other ways. And that's because we only know about his name, and we only know about him. But and we have the facts. We have the facts. We've heard the testimony. But we have to learn. We have to grow to know him, to become intimately involved in conversation on a regular basis, in prayer on a regular basis, in all of those things that are necessary to build a relationship an intimate relationship. Not just, I love the way the author shares the fact that on Sunday, you know, it's like if you're married and the only thing you do with your wife is on Sunday, give her a box of chocolates. And then after that, you go and you live your life the way you want to, and it doesn't include her. It's like that marriage is not going to last very long. And then if you start doing things that are, okay, I'm going to do this, to this is today, this is prayer meeting, so I'll go to that. But it is, it goes beyond that. It goes to a place where he desires to always continuously be in conversation and be in, not just conversation, but be in our lives on a regular basis. Be involved in everything in our life. Be involved in every way and in every priority one. And so we realize that as we come to know him and know the God we worship, one of the things that the scripture is looking at is Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. So if someone can get that scripture for me, and in a variety of versions, because it gives us such a powerful understanding of the importance of knowing the God that we worship, or only being able to worship him when we know him. When we truly know him, will we be able to worship him. And so as someone is looking for it, I love the Psalms 37 and 3, which says, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land, but feed on his faithfulness. When you feed on something, you use it as the source of life. You use it to satisfy the longings of your hunger. When you feed on something, it becomes the connection that you have to your well-being. And so he says, feed on his faithfulness. So when you come to know God, not just know about him, because yes, he is faithful, but when you come to know him and then you start feeding on it, that means you grab what you know and you ingest it in your soul. You ingest it so that it covers those things that are there that shouldn't be there. And it takes a greater priority and power because he is powerful. That's why this is knowing God gives us a sense of power. So now we don't feel powerless. We don't feel hopeless. We don't have to feel overwhelmed. We have a sense of power for his will. So that's his will, because we know him, because we've come to know him, and we feed on his faithfulness. I just love that. It changes everything. It changes everything. It means we feed on, and you have to understand what is faithfulness. We've heard those words. We say them all the time. But they have a deeper meaning that we are going to have to embrace, you know, to feed on his goodness, on his mercy, on his power, on his presence, on his promises, on his love, and on all his endless and infinite attributes and qualities. It means to feed on Jesus, the bread of life. And we've heard it. We know the bread of life. But have we really come to a place where we feed on it? That every time there is that longing in our soul, because that's the way we were created to be, that we feed on what he has for us, or do we ingest foreign food, what do they call it? Anyway, you know, poison is one of the scriptures. Say poison drink, drink that will kill you, or the because where you get it from, that source is not a source of life. And so if someone has the
No, I have it in the Amplified. Did you say it, the Jeremiah 9, what verse did you say?
23 and 24. Actually, we should read, like, maybe start around the 15. I can't show
okay.
My internet.
On the 15. Okay, the 15 said, therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will, okay, the enemy is busy. It just left. Okay. Behold, mm-hmm. I will feed them, this people, with wormwood and give them bitter and poisonous water to drink. I will also scatter them among nations that neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will send a sword after them until I have alienated them. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Consider.
Okay, hold on right there. Hold on right there. So this is what,
okay,
when he says he will send, he's letting us know that that's what's going to naturally come.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to naturally come when he's not the source. He's, you know, this is what's going to happen. Now, because he's
right,
in charge of things, because he is in charge of everything, okay, and because he maintains everything, he's going to allow it to come. Okay, is that what you want? Okay, but when you drink of this poison water, when you drink of it, it's going to poison your destiny. It's going to poison your thinking. It's going to poison your emotions. And you're going to wonder, why am I responding to life the way I am? It's because you're drinking this poison water. It is not the living water that comes from Jesus Christ. You're not feeding and nor drinking of the faithfulness of God, his presence and his promise. I love it in our morning prayer when we talk about the blood and then the promises. And it's like, because these promises have so much power. They have so much power to enable us to do what Christ did. That's the blood. And so we're able to accomplish the God's will. Not my will, but thy will be done. How is it done? By feeding on the faithfulness of God. Everything he's done and said, he is going to be true to it, because he's the God of glory. He's the Most High God. He's the King of the universe. He's the giver of life. He's the God of the living and the dead. So no matter where you go, he is God. He is the maker and the creator and the man of sorrow, and he is a prophet, a priest, and a king. He is the redeemer and the refuge and the rock. He is ruler of heaven and earth, ruler of heaven and earth. And so these things that he has, he is, and these attributes that he has and is releasing and revealing to us, the depth of them, these attributes, will give us a sense of pride because we belong to him. It's like if you know a very faithful, famous person, the author gives an illustration how the individual was getting married, and in the area they were getting married, I guess the president of the United States was there, and he stopped by their wedding. They didn't know him, and they were just awed at him. Oh, the president of America, you know, is at my wedding. He took pictures with him. He did different things with him. And Arthur shared the fact that, you know, those pictures and that story is going to be told everywhere they go about who came to their wedding. And he's using that as an illustration that Christ has come to our wedding. He has come, and we are the bride. And we don't have that same sense of pride, that same sense of purpose, you know, that same sense of and of that self-confidence, but that place of self-esteem. He's what makes us valuable. They felt they were made valuable because the president stopped there. He took pictures. He was so kind to them. So they had a story to tell, and they told of the awesomeness of an individual. And yet we have that was the president of America, and as the book said, but yet the king of the universe has stopped by and dwelt there. And we don't take the picture and run and tell people. And, you know, from time to time, we may share. But basically what we're doing is using him as a sundae, giving him chocolate. And so the powerful moves and moments in our life, we'll give him, because we're too overwhelmed by it to do anything else. And even then, sometimes we don't feed fully on his faithfulness. And I think that's one of the things that we want to glean from this book, to feed on God's faithfulness. And that means getting to know who he is, getting not just about him, but experiencing him just like a man experiences his wife and a wife experiences her husband, very deeply and very intimately and very continuously, so that their bond grows stronger and stronger. Their love attaches anything that comes in their speech. And so that is what we need to allow the Lord to develop in our minds and in our hearts and in our spirit, so that those things that come upon us, they can't break the barrier and the bond that has been developed between God and us and the world. And so because of our proximity to him, and one of the things in my study, he showed the fact that the it says, you know, you in the tide of scripture, you know, that he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you won't have room enough to receive them. And so it was like immediately he says those blessings that he pours out, the opening the window is giving us the Holy Spirit to direct, bring these things to us. But the blessings that we won't have room enough to see are those blessings we receive in Matthew, the 5th chapter. Blessed is the person. Those are the blessings. And we don't often look at that. You know, we want it to be the thing that pulls the cloud away and makes the sun shine and brings us the things that, you know, makes life convenient. But the blessings that he's going to pour out on us is the blessings of his attributes, his traits, and his personality. And he's going to pour them in us. And when they come in, they will then overflow because we won't have room enough to receive them all. And so we will share it with other people. And so this is the power and the sense of pride and purpose that we get from knowing God intimately and deeply. And this is how we worship. When it overflows from us to others, it becomes our worship. Our life becomes worship. That's why the shadow of Peter healed the man, because it was overflowing with the blessings of heaven that had been placed in him through Jesus Christ. And so when we get noticed, it gives us a sense of pride. We're no longer, what do they call it, have low self-esteem. We no longer seek the approval of a man's system of things. We don't have to, because we're connected. We have influence. We can name drop. Like, what name do you want to drop today? The Most High God, the Great Physician? What name do you need to drop today? Because you can drop the name of God that changes unmovable internal God of heaven. What name do we need to drop today? The Rock that is higher than I, because that's the names that we want to start dropping. We want to start dropping the names of God that's infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. We want to drop the name of God, and that's why I love it. I do encourage you, everywhere you see a name of God, an attribute of God, check it off in your book so you can start just turning the page and see it right there. Oh, the defender, the redeemer, the friend, and are these things activated in my life today or in this situation today or covering this circumstance today? The unique, matchless, holy, incomprehensible, holy and transcendent God, the sovereign one. I love that name. That's the name that he's really bringing to the forefront. It's like an old school name, English name, and you don't hear sovereign very often. But sovereign is a powerful, powerful word. The sovereign one probes our most hidden thoughts, tells us that we must repent, and command worship that end all thoughts of personal self-grandioso. And that's that prideful thing. So that sovereign God, knowing God is a sovereign God, is a secret law of the soul. Knowing that, that's a secret law. You know how you do stuff and you say, why are you doing this? I don't know. They said it. Okay, this is in the spirit realm. Why do you do that? Because the sovereign God is my friend. That's the name that I'm going to drop over this situation and these circumstances, and then I don't have room to be prideful or to be the great one, and this sense of pride will no longer be in me, but it will be in him. And that's where our pride must come, that sense of pride. Don't walk without pride. Just make sure your pride is in the right place, And it's in the place of God when we come to know him and to know the power of his name. And then not just to know him, to start using it. Start using the power of his name. When someone upsets you, you know, oh, defender, my great defender. Okay, just call his name, and it gets his attention, and he sits up and he looks, even though he's watching all the time, and he's there. But he's like, she realizes me. And so we'll see in this Jeremiah, when you get to the 23rd verse, and you go keep reading, minister.
Okay. Wow, that was so powerful what you just said. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider and call for the mourning women to come. Send for the wailing women to come. Let them hurry and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may shed tears and our eyelids flow with water. For a sound of wailing is heard.
Yeah. Hold on just right there. And I think that's a message. The message that God was giving the church on Mother's Day, and it was addressed to the women. It's not often he calls the women and gives them purpose, and this purpose is from it. And this purpose will transform. And then it tells you, teach your daughters. So it's definitely addressing the role of the woman in the life of and the health of the church of God. He calls for the woman. He said, well, in other words, have this sorrowful spirit, because blessed are, you know, those that mourn, for they will be comforted. So have this type of a demeanor and teach it to your daughters so that they will be humble in the way they interact with the males that God sends in their life. And so those things that are of the world's generation, you know, this, you know, I am woman, hear me roar and all of that, hear me pray, hear me wail. Wail means, you know, just your heart is broken. It's repenting for all that is out of line with God, every man that is out of line with God. And that wailing is the thing that a woman does when she wants something to pain, and she is expressing the deep, deep sorrow that's in her soul because the perfect will of God is not being fulfilled in the union of man and woman. And so to have that kind of a spirit to raise up daughters that will honor that and will understand that, who will be able then to be the wives, that is a blessing for the men to find and for them to go about what they're supposed to do, not what he's supposed to do to them, but what they're supposed to do in this union. And that's what we're learning in knowing God, knowing the God that we worship. This is how we worship him, by knowing what our purpose is. And our purpose is from God. The sense of power that we have will come in order to fulfill God's will, his perfect plan, his agenda, his, you know, I heard somebody, you know, I made plans. He said, I'm going to niche all them plans you have because I got plans. I wrote it down. Remember, I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. You can't have that kind of a restriction in this area because I'm the infinite God and I am your God. And so keep reading, Ms. Pat.
Okay. For a sound of wailing is heard coming from Zion. How we are ruined, we are greatly perplexed and utterly shamed, because we have left the land, because they have torn down our dwelling. Now hear the word of the Lord, O you women. And let your ear hear the word of his mouth. Teach your daughters a sound of mourning, and each one teach her neighbor a dirge. For death has come up through our windows. It has entered our palaces, cutting off the children from the street and young men from the town squares. Speak, thus says the Lord. The dead bodies of men will fall like dungs on the open field and like sheaves of grain behind the reapers, and no one will gather them. Thus said the Lord, let not the one who is wise and skillful boast in his insight. Let not the one who is mighty and powerful boast in his strength. Let not the one who is rich boast in his temporal satisfaction and earthly abundance. But let the one who boasts boast in this, that he understands and he know me, and he acknowledge me and honors me as God, and recognize without any doubt that I am the Lord who practice loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord.
There you
Behold,
go. That's, hold on, that's it. It's in these things that he delights. Those
wow.
that know to understand, I need to know God. I need to
yeah.
know him. I mean, know, that intimate knowing, that know, the definition of that word that reveals that inner connection, that intimately deep connection between a man and a woman. He said that those people, that's who I delight in. It doesn't matter how much you sing, how much you pray, how you do this and how you do that, you know, all of those things are part of the anointing. But what I delight in, and everybody wants to delight their lover. Everybody, and the more we know about him, the more we desire to delight him. And that's part of what we shared last week. That's what changes us. You know, it says, you know, I don't want to abuse your grace, you know, because I need it every day. It's
yeah.
the only thing that makes me want to change. That grace of love, when you realize who's loving you, that's a great, I don't, you know, you don't want to, you want to delight the love of your soul. You want to delight in his grace in such a way that you honor it and you don't abuse it. You know, you don't say, well, he does, so, you know, I'll do this and I'll do that. He's going to love me anyway. Yeah, but he's also going to discipline. He's also, because he is the author and the finisher. So it's going to fit the way he said. Okay? Now, we can go through and understand the instructions of going through, which is what's in this book of Jeremiah. And it's interesting because in chapter 8, it talks about what happens to people that have to them because they had false gods. They had idols. They had chosen the world's way over God's way, and they had forgotten it. They had become trained Christians or trained Jews. They knew how to pray and do this and do that, but they had no love or no respect or no holy fear of God. And so they started worshiping idols. And this is what happens when you worship idols. You get poison water. You get that which will be destroyed. It will destroy. And then you know it's from the devil because that's what he comes to kill, and destroy. And so we say that, but we need to go back and see, how does he do this? How does he do this? Because he's a deceiver that I may not have deceived. That's what he was doing. And so he says here in this, because you know me and because you're knowing me and my attributes, then I got a name that you can use so that you won't be deceived. And that's the sovereign, a sovereign God. Sovereign God, show me. Sovereign God, the one that's above all and knows all. Omnipotent God, omnipresent God, omniscient God. I need you to show me the face of the enemy, so that, or the sound of the enemy, the voice of the enemy, or the actions of the enemy, so I am not deceived. And there is a name that we have to put, and we need to call it. And we don't just call it out. We understand its purpose. We have the wisdom and the counsel to know when to use the name. We have the knowledge. But if you have the knowledge, but you don't have the wisdom and the counsel of when to use that knowledge, you can be using it. You can be throwing what do they say, water on a grease fire, and that won't work. But it is a way to put out a fire, but not that particular fire. So you need the counsel of heaven. You need the wisdom from Holy Spirit to be able to know when to use which name and then to use it. But only when you know, you have come to know this name and the power of it and the purpose of it and the sense of it and have pride in it because it has been given to you. And so we want to look at that Jeremiah. I encourage you to read it in the 8th. Verse started the 8th, read all the way through the 9th, because it says here, now this is what I delight in. You want to know what to do? Like you say, you know, I just don't know what God wants. He wants you to know that he is a just God. So when something is happening and you don't feel that's fair, that's right, know that you serve a just God. And so you get a peace from that. You get a sense of power from that because the injustices do not overtake your emotions. The injustices will not harm your precept of what I can do or can't do because and then get another name of God that you want to just call, start name dropping. He's changeless and he's unmovable and he's eternal. And so, you know, these promises, if he's changeable, unmovable, and eternal, that means every promise he gave is true for me. So now you have to know what the promises are. You have to know when to use the promise. And then you have to know that the power of the blood of Jesus has released that promise. In fact, not it just didn't release it. He showed me how the blood of Jesus takes the promises and it wraps it around us. It wraps it around us. So there's nothing that can get through the blood of Jesus and then the promises of God. And whatever comes through, to God be the glory, because he promised again, I'll make all things work good for you. And that love me, and that I can delight in because you understand. He said, you understand that you have to know me. Paul said it. A lot of the saints said it. You know, this one thing I desire is this. I know God. You know, that's it. And nothing else matters. You know, I just want to know him, you know, in the power, and then get the rest of it, in the power of his mind and his resurrection and his suffering. If that's all that's what I long for, okay, that is the faithfulness that I'm going to feed on, then my suffering is going to be glorious in order to glorify my God. Like Christ's suffering was glorious because it glorified his Father and it brought his will on earth as it was in heaven. And so we go beyond the surface of what we've heard and what we've said and what we've memorized, what we study, what we preach, what we've taught. We go beyond that because there is a mystery being revealed to those whose ears have been anointed with that, what Christ does, he sanctifies. It's been sanctified. Our spirits have been sanctified by the word so that the Holy Spirit has given us the understanding and the knowledge and the wisdom and the counsel of how that word will bring a reverent fear and how it is all covered by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which is unbeatable because he's flawless, he's awesome, he is every name on that mountain who is a principality has been destroyed by Jesus Christ. But if we don't know and understand that, then we're not feeding, we're not growing in our spirit man on what God wants us to look at and how we walk through this earth. That's the only way we can walk through this earth as tall cedar trees. They're up above, they're above everything, and they are strong, and they're very hard to kill and everything. But that's why he said they look like trees, tall trees walking. That's because their strength have been strengthened by feeding on the faithfulness of God.
Yeah.
So I've been talking. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Overseer. I just wanted to say, you know, God is so good. If you ask him the answer, he'll give it to you right away. And yesterday I was in a storage you know, just throwing away stuff and getting rid of stuff. But as I was sitting there, I said, Lord, I kept asking, what is my purpose here on earth? Sometimes you feel like you're just going in circles, but you're not really understanding my purpose, my calling, my destiny, and who I'm supposed to reach out to. And in this scripture where we was reading, especially that whole one, but when it started in the 23rd, when it was saying, let not the one who rich boasts in his temporal satisfaction and earthly abundance, but let the one who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me. You know, getting to know him, I love this book because the God we may not know, we have to sometimes put away everything we thought we knew and get to know him in a more excellent way. And this book has been, you know, I'm getting it today, but I'm just saying what I've seen on YouTube is just powerful, you know? And just to honor him and see and recognize him for who he is, not in our own way, not in what we was practicing, and we thinking that love and kindness and that justice and righteousness look one way. And it reminded me when he said to let go of that bitterness and anger and hurt and resentment. And you thought you had let it go, and you pick it up, and you let it go, you pick it up, and finally you let it go. And it became a peace in your body, in your mind, in your spirit and soul. But then I asked the Lord, I said, what it look like now? He said, praying for salvation, praying for your husband, praying for even your heart, you know, just showing love no matter what it looks like. And you might have never talked, it has nothing to do with that, but you pray the way I can pray. And I thank God for that because he teaching me, you know, I think it was Stormy Marnin, the power of a praying wife. And that prayer, what'd you say?
No, go ahead. That, I was saying
Yeah, that prayer changes a lot of things, and but it teaches you other things that even you see yourself, and then you start praying for yourself that you don't be that person, that evil spirit or that conniving spirit or that, you know, trying to get back spirit, you know, but loving the way God loves. And when you love like Christ, it becomes unconditional love no matter what, you know?
So this
has been just an excellent book. Oh, my goodness. Excellent.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that testimony and that insight into the experience and your spirit. I love it because it causes spiritual maturity. And I think of the apostle, the way she does things. But Wednesday is spiritual growth and development. That's what this is. This is getting spiritually mature by feeding on these the deep meanings of things. I think prophets said it before, Wednesday, you know, it's like surface, and now we're going down into the deep where you can't see, you know, you can't perceive anything, so you got to have, you know, someone that's doing that for you, because this deep is not something that we can navigate through. And even when it's going down or going up, you know, to the up the mountain. And so
that's
so
the recovery and all, right?
That is exactly. That is recovering all. It's the really it's getting us to a place where we know him. We're given a sense of pride through him, so we don't have low self-esteem. We don't have to do things to please people. We don't have to look a certain way to be acceptable with any of those things. And a sense of purpose. And so, because you mentioned that, it's like, what is my purpose? Our sole purpose, and we need to know the word of God, is to worship him. It is to worship him. How can we worship him if we really don't know him? So we pick and not pick and choose, but we seek out okay, I have this anointing, so I can worship him with my song or with my music or with my teaching or whatever. But it goes so much beyond that, and that's not yours anyway, because that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. So you going to worship me with my own spirit? No, I need that spirit to create in you a clean heart so that you can worship me through what you do and serve to those that I love. You may not love them. You may not want them. They may not be desirable to you, but I sent my son to die for them, and you were like that when we found you. And so that's how we work. You know, that's that, a heart to bring glory to God. That's how we worship. That's every thought we have. When we have it and it's wrong, if we don't tear it down, then we're not worshiping. When we get that thought, and we're going to get it because the devil is going to do it, and we start name dropping, okay, then he knows, oh, they're worshiping me because they're acknowledging me in all their ways. Mm-hmm. They're acknowledging who I am. They know when they pray to me, ask for big things because I'm a great grand God. So we, you know, that's our name. I'm an all-powerful God. I'm an almighty God. I'm the God. I am the king of all gods. I'm the king and the Lord of lords. So name drop me. And so when you do that, he's delighted. Oh, they're calling me. And they know who I am. You know, they're not just going, you know. But, you know, King of Glory, now, this is when I meet you. King of Glory, okay, Lord Most High, or Counselor, or Father, okay, or Emmanuel, God in me. You are my high priest, Jesus. You are the great high priest, and you're in me, and I need you to intercede for me, for my soul, for my mind, for my emotions. That's when the maturity comes. As we grow in knowledge of him, we are determined to purpose to be progressively every moment knowing him more deeply and more intimately and including him in all of our minds and our thoughts and our actions. Amen. So anybody else? I don't want to cut off nobody else. Okay. All right. Okay, I have, God knows, I have so many notes in this book, I can't hold them all. So I don't know how far I really have got. But as it relates to my notes, one of the things, well, we'll do that next week, because that's a deep subject, so I don't want to just kind of say it. But we're understanding who to boast in, who to have our value and self-worth based on knowing God. It's a matter of the priority in our life. It should be the priority in our life. It gives us dignity. It gives us, and that gives us maturity. Okay, hold on. And we'll talk about even the three stages that they mentioned that we go through that's given in, and be sure you answer the question in the guide after you do the reading. Answer the questions and write them in your book because it'll be a wonderful reminder of how to. This is your journal. You journal by the application that you're making to the things that we've read. So I really, 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 you know, implore you to write it down and make it a part of your journaling of what God is revealing to you in this study. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. So be blessed and enjoy and obey and acknowledge the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we will talk to you on next week. All right?
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good
evening.
Good, thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay.